With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets
and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty: Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty: Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks for listening to the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday, 3 to 5 Eastern, 12 to 2 Pacific, on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. What up with you, Doug Gottlieb Show? Fox Sports Radio, broadcasting live in the TireRack.com studios. TireRack.com, help you get there. Unmatched selection, fast, free shipping, free road hazard protection. Over 10,000 recommended installers. TireRack.com. That's the way tire buying should be. Okay, so night two of the draft. The draft is in Detroit, right? And last night, an unbelievable crowd in Detroit, which I got to tell you, I still don't get. Like, I get the, well, I want to go to a draft. I've never been to one, but I don't know, just a bunch of people in a crowd waiting for one draft pick, cheering for dudes that don't have, no one has any sort of idea, right, of most of these guys and if they can play or not. Best place to watch the draft is at home. It's at home. Byron, how was your draft watching experience?
It was good. It was, Seahawks were smack dab in the middle of it. You know, said yesterday that where my focus was, was interesting to watch. Again, you know, family in town, little chaos here and there. However, the TV was fully on the draft. Even tried to check out both broadcasts. I've been leaning towards the NFL Network the past couple of years, but just wanted to see what ESPN and ABC provided, but stuck mostly with the NFL Network. And it was a little boring at first because there were no trades, and then things just really kind of got spiced up with the Penix pick, made it interesting. Then you saw some trades later on, but I wanted to see some teams moving up to three, moving up to six. And so it was a little, I don't want to say a little boring, but it was a little ho-hum at the start.
No, it was boring. It was boring. I mean, there's a lot of quarterbacks that went, which drives a lot of people's opinions because people think they know about their quarterback. It's like, well, I see my quarterback. And like, we don't know. We have no idea, right? I mean, I just, like, the idea that you and I, and I feel like we have a good handle on knowing sports, and then you'll call a general manager and you'll ask them how they see it, and they'll open your eyes to the, yeah, it's actually this, this, and this. But, you know, like, your people's opinion of Bo Nix, like, it could be based upon some game he played at Auburn. You know, like 3 years ago.
Sure.
Like,
it's my quarterback.
You know, Michael Penix played totally different in Indiana than he played. Or if you saw him this year, if you saw him in the semifinals, you're like, that guy's amazing. If you saw him in the Oregon game, that guy's amazing. If you saw him in the games leading up to the Pac-12 championship game, you're like, that guy stinks. I don't get it. Even the championship game, he looked like a second day sort of prospect, right? So I too thought it was a bit boring, but I thought the Penix thing shuffled some things up and changed a lot of the draft order. What were you eating at the house? Did you order the vittles, or because you had family in town, you went traditional food?
We just actually just got some wings from the bottom of the hill.
What is your wing order? Did you do the boneless? Because you're a boneless guy at heart.
Yeah,
correct?
Yeah. It was all boneless. Yeah. My mom doesn't want bone in wings.
You're putting this off on your mom.
Well, no, I mean, I've gotten bone-in wings before, yes. But I would totally, I'm totally fine with bone-in, but I prefer boneless.
What's your mom's first name?
Janet.
She likes wings. Though Janet is a hero of the show.
Like my, well,
no, I'm serious.
Like, she had wings. Like, so, like, that's it. Like, I said, like, let's get some wings tonight. So that was the plan. Made an order. Brody loves the barbecue, you know, ones. So he'll.
That's good sauce.
He'll gnaw on those for a while. Mm. Yeah.
Just get all over his face. Just
oh,
everywhere.
Yeah. Complete goatee of barbecue sauce.
Jason Stewart, how was your NFL draft viewing experience? Always the cynic. I'm sure you found some things to be cynical about.
Yeah. I think that. That Nick Saban was outstanding. Like I think I'm most scrutinizing of analysts, and I found him to be spellbound. I couldn't keep my eyes off of him. I couldn't stop listening to him. I think he was on the ABC portion of the broadcast, and not only was he on point, but he was funny. And he worked with these guys that have been doing, like, they have the college game day guys. So they've been working together for, what, 10, 15 years? And he just seamlessly fit in there. And all of his analysis was like, you're hanging on every word.
Yep.
Nick Saban was amazing. And I think he lost a little speed because he's old, and he probably didn't think he needed to pace himself for 4 hours.
That was a long event, though.
Yeah. That's,
he probably got tired by the end of the night because it didn't wrap up till like, at least nine. It was like 4.5 hours long. It was really long.
It was like 3.5. I think it was over by about 8:30-ish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But maybe Saban just got tired because it was past his bedtime. But, you know.
Here's also that case is you're focusing a lot of your analysis on probably the top half of the draft. And it's funny you say that, Jason, because I just think that, like, for Saban being great is not a surprise. Just like Belichick got rave reviews for what he did during the McAfee broadcast. That should not be a surprise. When these guys could sit there and talk football, who better to listen to and hear them? Maybe it's amazing to see how they work in a television structure, but like their input, it's why I always hated the, oh, Belichick, he's so boring and blah, blah, blah. But maybe then the same thing with Saban. But when they actually talk about it and break it down, it is great to hear. It's one of the few like 30 for 30s that I have still saved. There's a Parcells and Belichick one. There's that Saban Belichick documentary. I don't know if it was 30 for 30 or it was HBO. It was one of those two. That's saved on my DVR just because they're so good in talking football.
Speaking of like late in the first round, I don't know when Jacksonville chose, but they chose this kid named Brian Thomas. Mm-hmm. And his parents, must see TV. I love the first answer of his mom right here.
Sandra, how far has this family come?
We came from Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
When you think about the journey that you've been on together, what does tonight mean to you?
It means the world. It's amazing. I'm so grateful to God, so happy for him. We are so proud of him.
I mean, she wasn't wrong. They did come from Baton Rouge.
That's Naked Gun humor right there.
That was amazing. That was amazing.
that felt like a Family Feud answer.
It did.
Or even a dating game.
What was that? What was that movie Top Secret when one of the characters is like, yeah, I know a little Russian. He's over there, and it's a little person, a little Russian person across
the literal one. That's the famous Marvin Barnes. You guys know who Marvin Barnes was? Marvin Barnes was famously one of the great and eccentric players in the ABA, and. Why am I forgetting? What's famous broadcaster called the NBA Finals on NBC? Mr. Baseball.
Costas.
Bob Costas. He likes to tell the story. He was the play-by-play man for the St. Louis Spirit at the time. Marvin Barnes played for it. And I think they were flying from Indy to St. Louis, and they were on two different time zones. And he looked at his ticket and went, let's say, like, leaving at 7:08, arriving at 7:06. You know, and he's like, man, I ain't getting on no time machine. It's when you take things literally that's an amazing answer.
The great job. Who was the reporter that followed up knowing, like, I'm not going to embarrass
Who's the blonde that does NFL Game Day on ESPN?
Sam Ponder?
Was it Wendy Nix?
No.
She's still
0-2. What is her name?
On ESPN?
Rutledge.
Oh, it's Laura Rutledge. Laura Rutledge. NFL Live.
She's very good. She's very good.
Great job in the then reformulating the question and not, you know, completely in embarrassing her. Yeah. What did Sam say?
I don't know. He's got something going on. But I wanted to say that the follow-up after we just played was, hey, folks, she turns to the parents and says, I need a Duval. Give me a Duval. And the dad looks at her and says, what's that? And then she went to a break.
Oops.
Can't all bat 1,000.
I know the Duval. What is it about?
No idea. I just know it's a Jaguars thing.
Like, Duval County is where Jacksonville is. So they go, Duval! Yeah.
Got it.
Sorry, that was a bad one.
Maybe they're just big fans of Apocalypse Now, that Robert Duval scene.
It was a big night for Jason Stewart, who had another tweet go viral.
What was the tweet?
With the Joe Alt pick. Topped out over 1 million views, but it wasn't Alt.
Well, you had 1 million associated views?
Right?
No, it's getting up to like 1.3 now. Like,
what was it?
It's one of those tweets where even my subtweet, my comments to other people are getting 1,000 likes. It's just one of those moments in time where you hit it at the right time, mm-hmm. and it just went everywhere. And then Outkick picked it up. Anyways, so Joe Alt is sitting there
with
his family.
Oh, yeah, with his girlfriend.
And it's a good 20-second delay. And the broadcast figured it out by the time it got to Brock Bowers. But before then, they were dealing with this thing where they just sat there and waited for the family to hear the news. And Joe Alt's girlfriend is a peculiar-looking person. She's attractive, but she also looks like they superimposed a cartoon character right next to her.
That's not the description of an attractive person.
The most curious look. Like, a fascinating look.
What about, was it Olu Fashanu?
Fashanu,
yeah. His mom?
Yes. Oh, that got a lot.
She's kind of blocking out the girlfriend who's just trying to touch the thigh or the hands, just trying to like, dude, you got on the couch, you're good. Somehow she got on the couch.
I didn't quite understand the reaction to that, but it was explained to me. And now I do understand. I guess there was a draft pick a couple years ago.
Yes.
That has his girlfriend, I don't know who it was, falling all over him. But it's a dynamic of a white woman and a black draft pick. That's the joke on Twitter. I just didn't understand it.
Terry and Arnold... realizing that he was talking to Detroit and they were all right behind him, and then he turned around and yelled to Detroit, I'm home. There's a lot of Detroit jokes that could have come out of that one, right? A lot of them. A lot of good ones.
What'd you guys think of the very beginning, bringing out Eminem and all those lions to address the crowd?
It's just always awkward when the commissioner's there.
It's like awkward.
It's such a soft, like, you're trying to cushion the blow that he's going to get. And it just, I actually feel for all of the Lions and Eminem for being put in that situation.
They just said, let's go. I mean, they took the mic and said, let's go. The unimaginative.
I actually think that's the worst thing that Tom Brady has brought to football.
I agree.
To sports, really. Let's go! And we all find ourselves doing it sometimes. Like, something cool happens, and you just go, let's go! You're like, why did I do that?
When J.C. Latham lifted up Roger Goodell, and Goodell had back surgery within the last month. And I told my mom and my wife, and then they replayed it like 4 or 5 times. And every time, you know, my mom's like, oh my gosh, like it hurts to even watch.
Was he cringing?
No, but he was, it was like this bear hug. And
what if he popped his back though? That feels so good. You're standing up there a long time. Yeah. So he's like, oh man. That's
yeah, weird. If his back
necks?
Was fine.
Can you do necks? Did you guys know like I'm an amateur chiropractor?
No, I did
not. That's
not
a good thing to be.
What? Why?
Because you can really injure somebody.
Nah.
Yeah.
Not the way I do it.
You can suffer a stroke, actually, if you pull the wrong thing.
I don't pull the wrong thing.
All right.
I don't mess with necks. I just do backs.
Dr. Gottlieb over here.
But I can arrange you. I can align you.
All right.
Pretty good at it, too.
All right.
You know? Pretty good at it. The Joe Alt's girlfriend one was just, it was the expert in awkwardness. In it's a delay. Just smile and wave. Right?
She looked like a startled, like dachshund, like a wiener dog.
But this is where Jason deserves the credit. Everybody was looking at the same thing. He took his camera and zoomed in on her look, and the editing of it is perfect. It's quick. It's a move. She is wide-eyed and not going on. You know, she doesn't know what's going on. It's a really, really good job by Jason to put that together, to capture the moment that so many of us saw but didn't realize that we were looking at it.
There's who's the SNL actress? Strange looking woman, but really funny, and I forget. Anyway,
Rachel Dratch. Is it
the Debbie Downer?
Debbie Downer look.
Yeah,
that's it.
Yep.
That was the most common response to my tweet, that she looked like that woman.
I love Rachel Dratch. It's hilarious. The NFL put this number out. This is official. They say 275,000 people.
What official?
NFL.
That is spitballing. Like, yeah, this is like how many people attended a victory parade.
275. I mean, okay.
I understand there's a math to it.
Why
or
not
whatever.
225,000? I mean, it's a lot up there. Detroit, it was beautiful weather. It was a really good showcase for the city.
It was really good.
Official from the guy paid to eyeball and spitball.
Yeah. Yeah. The Clippers.
It's propaganda.
The Clippers attendance taker from the 90s is probably that guy.
Nebraska home football games.
Nebraska home football games, they buy and sell tickets. There's actual
sold
tickets
out for
there.
Like 45 years.
Right. There's no tickets being sold there. So, again, like, I get you can do the math of, hey, all these the basic
it's
number
propaganda.
Of people or whatever, but yeah. But I will point out, like, what was the rating? Do we have the overnight ratings yet?
I have not seen them.
It is crazy, you know, when we sit there and go like, wow, most watched WNBA, and you think like, wow, that's crazy. Then you see the NFL's number, you're like, holy hell.
Here's the tricky part about it, because of all of the different broadcasts. I don't know on how much, I mean, I know we'll get the ESPN number. We can
the NFL will pool them together. They'll go the, you know, and there's a million different ways to watch. But even the broken up broadcast, the numbers will be gargantuan.
Yes.
Numbers of people gargantuan. Because there's still people who they think sports, they only turn to ESPN. They don't turn to the NFL Network. Even though the NFL Network, I feel like their product has been superior. So I agree with you on I thought Belichick was awesome. I thought Saban was awesome. I thought DJ was awesome. I'm a McShay guy. I think he's fantastic. I like Mel. It's kind of the same thing on repeat. You know, it's been a long time. The rest of it, I thought was fine. There was some, you know, I thought ESPN probably got the memo on let's not do a death story. You know, not everybody suffered some traumatic loss that led them to becoming an NFL star. I think they sort of got the memo there. It wasn't the same sort of tone.
There's two things Seahawks related that happened. Number one, there's this running joke within the Seahawks fan boards of how TV networks end up like going to commercial break right before the Seahawks pick. So because it's like, okay, the Seahawks are on the clock. Let's go to break. Let's not talk about this pick. And by the way, it happened again last night. And then when they did take Byron Murphy, he was sweating. Like the pits were soaked. It was when you get, you know, 30 people jammed in a living room, you got to turn the AC on in that scenario.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So he was just wearing like jeans and like a polo shirt, but it was, they were sweating that one out.
I love the family pics on the couch. Those are couches, not sofas, by the way.
What's the difference?
Have you ever seen 6 Degrees of Separation? It's a famous play, right? And whatever, he talks about learning how to say sofa instead of couch. A couch is one where you can wear whatever. You can put your feet up on a couch. The family's all welcome. You can eat on the couch. The sofa, that usually goes in the living room, not the family room, right?
Got it.
Sofa, it's like they talk about a bottle of beer, right? Or a beer. So there's a difference. Those are couches. Those are real people.
Yep.
You know, I love that stuff.
Can
I love
it. Two things.
Yeah.
Loved seeing Saban as a Kent State player in the black and white. Loved that. Because we forget sometimes these guys, you know, they played back in like, you see Kirk Ferentz at Iowa was a UConn Husky linebacker, you know, and I've loved to see a picture of him. I forgot my second point. I just forgot it. But I did love seeing the Saban the pick there. Oh, overall, just generally, did you guys feel, sorry, it came back to me. Did you guys feel just like the second half of the picks kind of just dragged? I don't know. Like
it always happens.
I know, but I actually thought the first 10, 12 picks were really fun, entertaining. I did not think it was boring. But then when we got to the second half of the first round, it just kind of like the energy just sort of dissipated.
Nobody fell. Nobody fell.
Gotta have someone fall. You gotta have a fall game.
And let's be honest, offense sells. So when you have 14 straight picks of offense, I know some were linemen, but still 14 picks of offense, nobody's getting jacked up over, you know, a defensive back or a defensive end being.
You didn't. So when your Seahawks took a defensive tackle, you didn't go, let's go.
I did like the pick, but I don't expect everybody to be along with me and being, you know, enthralled with it. And then when you get to the latter stages of the draft, that tends to happen. I actually feel like there's more buzz about what could happen here at the beginning of the second round than what happens in the last 10 picks of the first round.
I'm invested.
Yeah.
Cooper DeJean.
Yeah. I mean, look, I love that there's a bunch of funny stuff to me, right? That the Packers drafted an offensive tackle. I think a good one too, but like that's the most Packer thing ever. The Cowboys like seem to only pick guys that played locally, like Oklahoma, Arkansas, Oklahoma State, Texas, right? That's like all they, I know they're star linebackers from Penn State, but you know, drafting Tyler Guyton, who's a very good, very good tackle. How about Micah Parsons' reaction to that one? Like, dude, you just drafted a starting tackle and Micah Parsons acted like, who? Like this guy wasn't even on my list. Not great. Not great. And of course, Xavier Worthy, that's exactly what Pat Mahomes needs, right? Is somebody, the fastest dude in the draft. You just drafted the fastest dude, like throw it as far as
you
can.
I thought of Bill Simmons when the trade was done to get Shabazz Napier to Miami, because that's who LeBron wanted.
Yeah.
And he was so mad that people were doing deals with the Heat.
Yeah.
I felt the same way. Like, Buffalo, why are you doing a deal with Kansas City so they can get the guy that they want? Just out of principle.
Out of principle. Don't do it. I agree. Or make them pay twice what the normal going rate would be.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing.
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Let Express Employment Professionals help you hire your next pro. Forget about posting jobs, sifting through resumes, interviews with unqualified applicants. Move up to the pros. Go to expresspros.com to find the location nearest you. That's expresspros.com. Okay. Also, the Thoroughbred Racing has a new independent regulator, HISA, that is implementing comprehensive reforms. The sport is combining hands-on care with cutting-edge technology to help keep its athletes safe. To learn more, visit safetyrunsfirst.com. That's safetyrunsfirst.com. You heard what Dan said about being a Seahawk fan watching a Seahawks draft a defensive tackle. Like the pick. Jay, Stu, and I share a fandom with the LA Chargers. And it's a hard one because everybody knows I'm pretty close friends with Tom Telesco, who's now the GM of the Raiders, was the GM of the Chargers. So when they fire your friend, you're like, yeah, but I can't be a team switcher. And I especially can't switch to the Raiders. Like that just...
Go Chargers, go!
Right? I mean, I do kind of fit the bill, right? Do have a criminal record, live in Southern California, bit bilingual. I'm good. Right? Love the color, love the silver and black, love the commitment to excellence, although it's been the commitment to excrement for a long time. But I cannot be a Raider fan when I'm a Charger fan, despite the fact that my friend is the general manager.
The Raiders.
Raiders.
The Raiders.
So last night I'm driving to a basketball practice. I was watching it on my phone and then it's on in the car as well. And the Chargers are coming up and they draft Joe Alt. My son's watching the same thing and he's like, who the hell is Joe Alt? Why do we take a tackle? We need a wide receiver, or why didn't we take Brock Bowers? I was like, well, dude, it actually kind of fits with what they're trying to do. He's like, what do you mean? Like, well, they went out and got an offensive coordinator that was Lamar Jackson's offensive coordinator when he was the MVP. And what did they do? They had an awesome offensive line and they ran the football. And when he was in Buffalo and they went to the playoffs, first time in 13 years, they ran the football and they protected the quarterback. And they did the same thing in San Francisco. Greg Roman, he's building his offense. Like, people brushed me off and they're like, when I talked about Jaden Daniels and the fact that Cliff Kingsbury was the coordinator. You don't hire a coordinator to run a specific style of offense and then don't give him the proper pieces for it. I'll give you the best example in basketball. Everybody remembers my take on Steph Curry and how I love Johnny Flynn. I thought he had a greater upside than Steph Curry. And I'm willing to admit I was quite obviously wrong. Now, part of it is Johnny Flynn got hurt his hip, didn't play after a couple years in the NBA, but part of it was he was drafted and put into the triangle offense. What changed with Steph Curry's career was he went from Mark Jackson that was running ISOs with him to Steve Kerr that used him on and off the basketball. Changed his career, changed his trajectory completely. Was lucky enough to be in a franchise that promoted his positives and eliminated some of his negatives and then built a team of ball handlers and versatile defenders that could protect him because he wasn't a good defender. Whereas Johnny Flynn was put into an offense which he does not fit with, did not work with at all. And then by the time they figured it out and wanted to switch, he had a bad hip and he was done. So anyway, you go back to Joe Alt, I like the pick. And right now, my belief level in Harbaugh is at 100. Why shouldn't it be? Everywhere he's gone, this is what he's done. He's rebuilt the offense into a rugged, run-first, play-action, and the quarterbacks have been the better because of it. Andrew Luck, Colin Kaepernick, Alex Smith was doing great. People forget, Alex Smith was the starting quarterback. He had a perfect QBR the game before he got hurt. I'm like, Monday Night Football. And then he got hurt. That's when Kaepernick came in and never gave up his job, right? It's not just that he's won. It's that he's won and the quarterbacks have been the better because of they ran the football. He invests in the offensive line. College football and recruiting and in the pros in drafting offensive linemen. So, yeah, I like the – it's not flashy, but I like the Harbaugh thing.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel, it's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thoroughbred Racing has a new independent regulator, HISA, that's implementing comprehensive reforms, and the sport is combining hands-on care with cutting-edge technology to help keep athletes safe. To learn more, visit safetyrunsfirst.com. That's safetyrunsfirst.com. Mark Domenech joins us. He spent 20 years in NFL front offices and scouting, former general manager of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Okay, so here's my issue with what Terry Fontenot did as the general manager of the Falcons. And, like, again, please, Mark, you and I are good enough friends. If you disagree, you're allowed to disagree. You've actually done this job. I don't mind taking a quarterback who, you know, look, your starting quarterback's 36 years old, coming off an Achilles tendon. Eventually, he's going to take over like that. But you just went all in on a guy and spent $100 million on a guy with the 8th pick in the draft to draft a 25-year-old quarterback that many people think would be more ready to go than others. That seems like a dramatic pivot, and they clearly didn't tell Cousins, so now he's pissed, right? Like, what's your take on what Atlanta decided to do last night?
You know, Chuck, I appreciate you being patient with me for calling in. Walking the city of Detroit right now, heading back to round 2 and 3 of the draft, and you know, even if I filled out a mock draft today for the first round, I'd still get that pick wrong. You know, because it just doesn't make any sense to me either. You know, it's just one of those ones where I just really struggle with it because I listen to the press conference and I'm like, they're like, well, you know, that pick is about the future of the team. Well, you have the 8th pick in the draft. You knew you had the 8th pick in the draft. You went to the Senior Bowl. You saw him there. You went to the Combine. You saw and talked to him there. You know, you had all these opportunities. Why did you sign Kirk Cousins? Like, you just go draft Michael Penix and say, let's go. This is the future. So it doesn't make any sense to me either that they would do both. And this is nothing against Michael. I feel bad for Michael Penix because he's even like, you watched him on the couch. And he was kind of like, it took everybody around him to kind of rally him up. He's like, I'm going to Atlanta where I know I'm not going to play for a couple of years. Kind of a bizarre feeling. So I can't see the logic behind it. I think you do one or the other. You either sign Kirk Cousins and you go to this draft. You take Roman Dunze and become a great offense. You take maybe a top corner, top pass rusher. Great. Or you don't sign Kirk Cousins, you draft Michael Penix, and you go spend $100 million on defensive players to make your team better. So I can't make light of it either. And talking to people from Atlanta, they're struggling with it too.
It's a weird one. There's no doubt. What pick did you like the best?
Well, it all goes to where you get the guy sometimes. I mean, to be able to, you know, take Quinton Mitchell at 22 for the Philadelphia Eagles, I thought was such a great pick. I think that one to me really kind of stood out as, wow, what great value. I thought Jared Verse to be able to go to the Rams is a really good fit and good value at that point. I love Roman Dunze, so, you know, for the Bears to be able to add him to this offense that they're trying to put together for the young player, I love that. So there's a lot of them that I like, but my favorite player going into this was Brock Bowers. And now he's going to be part of a 2 or 3 tight end formation that you're going to see at the Raiders.
I do too. I said that yesterday on Twitter on the radio show. Like, I felt like he was the best player in the SEC. And then you know, the Raiders, they might have taken Penix, but then they just took the best player available, and he's a hell of a player. And, you know, for whomever they choose at quarterback, I think he becomes an immediate threat. All right, what pick, let's take Atlanta aside, what pick did you like the least?
Yeah, so wasn't a huge fan of Mims for the Cincinnati Bengals. I feel like there's a lot of potential there, but I think it's also potential to bust. I see him overextend a lot on tape. It makes me a little nervous that he's going to be able to handle the athletes that he's going to see at the next level. I don't dislike the kid or anything like that. It's just I see something where I was with the Bengals, I'm nervous that he's not going to be able to live up to the expectations because, again, he's a 6'8", but he's not technically as sound as like an Alt was, where you see Alt be very technically sound, where he doesn't get himself in bad positions. Mims does, and so he's one of the ones I think was my one that I said, don't love the fit for that player, but understand you got to get Joe Burrow healthy.
You do have to get Joe Burrow healthy. What do you think of the Alt pick?
I'm good with it. I have no problem with it. See, the reason why I saw that is if you look at it now, you know, the Chargers could have taken their choice of, you know, anybody outside of Harrison, so they could have taken Neighbors, they could have taken Rome. But if they wouldn't have taken a tackle there, the tackle run, as you saw, went 8 deep in the first round. So now the tackle board that I thought might go, you know, 6 to 7 maybe in the first round, for their top of the second round pick, it's not there now. Now the tackles aren't there to that level, but they're still really good receivers here. And so I think they're in really good shape to be able to take a receiver here and walk out with what they think is an elite right tackle, and then also still walk out with what they think still can be a number one wide receiver or number two with Palmer.
Okay, if you're watching today, who's the player who's available that you're most interested in where he goes?
Yeah, I think John Newton is a guy that's a defensive tackle out of Illinois. You know, he had a pre-draft injury, but is a really good pass rusher. There's not a lot of them in this draft class, so he really stands out to me. And then Cooper DeJean, if I take some Iowa, you know, corner, slot, safety, I think those two guys scream, come get me at the top of the, you know, second round, and it's going to be interesting if Buffalo stays there or if they continue to move back.
Stug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Like this thing is fast. Let's go to some of these quarterbacks. Obviously, like we've talked about Caleb Williams. What do you think of the wide receiver they chose to put around him?
What about the wide receivers around Caleb Williams?
Yep.
Is that right?
Yep.
I love Roma Dunze. I think that the Caleb Williams is really set up with the two tight ends. With DeAndre Swift, they're giving him every chance to be successful. The whole thing for the Chicago Bears is going to be, can the offensive line stay healthy? Tevin Jenkins going inside the guard, that's going to be a big part of it. But if he can stay healthy, they're in great shape.
Yeah, they're in really – I mean, that's amazing the turnaround they've been able to make with that roster. Okay, let me ask you about the Broncos. The Broncos choose to get the most experienced quarterback – in the history of college football, right? They go and get the most experienced quarterback in the history of college football. What do you think of the fit?
Well, I think the thing that you have there with Sean Payton is the fact that you've got so much, to your point, so much tape to evaluate. So it's hard not to know what you're getting if you're a coach. Meaning, you know, you want to know 2-minute drill, he's got a ton of it. You want to know what he's like with 10 points up, he's got a ton of tape. If you want to see what he's like with 10 points down, how he handles football, he's got that. So you can really, from an analytics standpoint and from a coaching standpoint, you can spend a lot of time here being able to break him down and feel comfortable with it. I think it's a combination pick for them. I think it's one of the things where, you know, they're not obviously going to come out and say we couldn't trade up, but I think what they're going to say is, hey, look, it was a hopeful but a little desperate because of all the quarterback rooms going into the draft, I think theirs was the worst. And so now coming out of the draft, at least they have hope, but I think there's a little desperation in that pick as well.
Yeah, I'm with you. That it seems a little high. JJ McCarthy to the Vikings seems to fit really well, right? I mean, you know, they replaced Kirk Cousins with Kirk Cousins light, didn't they?
Yeah, and Josh McCown loves him. He loves his arm, loves what he can do, and that's gonna be good to have a guy like Josh McCown be the coach for him because of what Josh has been through in this league and how he's dealt with him. I think he's a really technical, good coach, and I think he was certainly pushing the buttons, trying to make sure that that's who they come out with. So I think it's a good fit, not only for the player, for the you know, the players around him. Now it's just, to me, the number one focus that Minnesota has to do is they've got to get JJ signed up. And if they can get him signed up long-term and just spend the money like you're supposed to when you have an elite player, take care of him, get it done to make sure the quarterback has this one target, and you go into camp in a great spot. So I really a good fit, good talent around him, but it's got to get JJ's got to get locked up long term.
And do you start him right away, or do you think Sam Darnold gets the start and he learns?
I think Sam Darnold might get the start for a week or two, and then I think he's transitioned over. It's always good, I think, for having rookies to have a chance to sit there and say, "Wait a second, let's take a step back. Let's see how defensive coordinators attack. You know, let him see how defensive coordinators attack you in the regular season versus what you see in the preseason." And then, you know, the fans are going to be wanting for him to get out there. And so if there's a slip-up by Sam Darnold, you know, two touchdowns, two interceptions, and they're 1-1 or 1-2, it's an easy transition to go over to him instead of just putting him out there week one saying, go figure it out. So I would rather him wait for a couple weeks if at all possible.
When you've been doing this draft and you're in that room and you have your second-round board, it starts to go quicker. An easier way to work when things are going quick with all the picks second round and beyond, or in the first round when you have time to kind of measure yourself, answer the phone call, and think about what you want to do next?
It's better when it's quicker, but it's not quick. It means, you know, when you have one pick per round with the compensatory pick, sometimes you're waiting an hour and a half between picks, which seems like a long time. And I know the first round went pretty long last night, but, you know, there's nothing better to me than day two of the draft as a GM. I loved day two. I mean, everybody loves day one. Everybody loves first-round picks, don't get me wrong. But day two is really where you try to build up your roster, and it's just so much fun to be able to work around those boards. You have a chance to move back and maybe pick up future picks. You got a chance to bundle picks up and go get a guy. I just love day two because I love the second and third round because there's so many good players that you can still uncover and find on your football team.
Awesome stuff. Mark, get back to work. You do an awesome job for us. Incredible amount of insight. Thanks so much for being our guest on Fox Sports Radio.
Doug, thanks for the kind words. I appreciate it, man.
All right.
Enjoy the draft.
That's Mark Dominic joins us in the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. It's so interesting, right? Like, he doesn't have his own team, and yet you can hear the energy that he has from covering this thing. Because all of these guys, this is what they've done their entire professional lives, and they love it. And they absolutely, absolutely love it.
There's so many gems that are mined out of day two and... There's a day three, right? Yeah.
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 Day three.
There's so many gems that are mined. Great players. So it's hard to keep track of all these guys, but you're going to see them, these names pop up in 3 or 4 years.
Sure. And this is it's not just a different era because of NIL. It's a different era because of the transfer portal. So there have been a lot of players that have dispersed. I still think, obviously, you can see the dominance of the SEC and the dominance of how many SEC players were drafted, and you will see that continue on. And that will only get, I think, more pronounced in the next year or two with all the NIL that those schools have. And I think some of the schools in the Big Ten, Ohio State specifically, like, they're going to dominate this draft just like they're going to dominate the sport. They have more money. There's no salary cap. But the run on quarterbacks is over. The Falcons left us with the biggest head scratcher. I love what the Raiders did. I think there's a new era in Chicago. They finally have a franchise quarterback. Let's see if they cannot screw it up.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets, and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty: Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. All that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.